Praise the Lord. Precious saints, precious family in Christ, sure do love you. Appreciate your prayers. Tonight, we're still rejoicing, really, from this morning, from the message, the glory and power, the truth that we heard, the bridal message we heard, especially to reign with Christ by one in this life, Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful encouragement. And tonight, and I was thinking about Ty, thinking about the Sunday school, we've had some precious lessons in Sunday school about Peter. And the Lord, Ty, brought Peter to my for my message tonight. So that helped. Peter spoke quiet a bit. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. He spoke quite a bit about suffering. And that's what we're going to look at, what Brother Peter had to say to us tonight about the suffering. And he sheds a lot of light on it. If you will turn to 1 chapter, 1 Peter. He says here that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, precious saints, we want to believe this. This is the outcome. This is the sum of it all. The suffering that we might be found. And it's just wonderful when you think about this. And then the Apostle Paul spoke pretty clear in Romans 8:18. We can all quote that. We think about it. And we'll turn there just for a moment. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We believe this. We're learning by God's grace to believe, no matter what the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. And what a comfort. What a comfort and what an assurance. What a blessing it is when we believe this. Because we're going to suffer. We're called to suffer with Christ. And Paul wanted this. Our apostle wanted this. He came to the point in his growth and growing in grace and knowledge, he just wanted to enter into the sufferings with Christ. Because he understood he would know Christ in a deeper revelation. And I thought about that, even in the natural. If you're married or you're close to someone, it could be Lori, it could be just close. I would get to know her somehow a little more if I spent time with her in her suffering. It just binds you together. It brings you together. You're drawn if you know something more about the suffering. So that's why we look at this and we think of this. That's why Paul wanted to know. He wanted to know Christ in the fullness. And it's the suffering. We wouldn't choose this. No. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, precious saints. We're going to talk about what we would choose. And while we're doing this, let's turn over to Isaiah 55. We're going to talk about what we would consider as far as being ready for Christ. And he says here in 55, this will make us really have a heart to understand more of the suffering. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. Now he wanted to establish that. It's like you're not, there's no way you're going to think like I think about a situation. There's no way. This is just, you can't. You don't have the ability and you don't need it because I'm in charge. He didn't say it like that. That's what he meant. And so when we think about this, the things that we think are not going to be the way. I don't know about you, precious family. I am so glad that he doesn't think like man. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where we'd be. Probably half of us wouldn't be here. And the other half would be wondering why we're not here. And the ones that left over would be just shaking their head. So thank God he doesn't think like us. What a blessing. Oh. And so Peter speaks quite again about the light on suffering. Peter tells us, and that's where we want to go. We want to go over to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. This time instead of the 1st chapter. And what the Spirit is going to share tonight is so wonderfully precious. Because Peter says here's something that you just learn to love it as you grow in grace. And now you learn to embrace it. You learn that I am so thankful that Peter said this. And even though Peter said it from experience, but he said here, and beloved, we're looking at 4:12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But there's a conjunction there. Rejoice. Why? Inasmuch as you are partakers of the sufferings, Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with just joy. No. Exceeding, above, and beyond. Joy that we can't know at the moment. We can know to a certain extent. But the joy that the sufferings are going to produce can only be when we see him face to face. Hallelujah, face to face. In glory. That's the only way that we're going to know this. But I just love Peter saying that. And you might say, why? Because I had a strange trial happened more than one time, but lately. And I don't think I'm the only one, Alex. I couldn't be having a strange trial. But in that trial, here's the beauty of it. The first thing that I thought about is why? Why this situation? And just in kind of wondering. And then you begin to think, and you said, you're going to get the glory out of this strange situation. Come on, God. How can you? And sincerely falling to my knees, it's like, I don't know how you're going to get the glory here. Because number one, this little finite mind thinks, this trial makes no sense. There's nothing here that I can understand or get some, maybe a little understanding as to why this happened the way it did. And praise the Lord, because in all of that, I don't think the day had passed when the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. Are you limiting me? I can't get the glory out of the strange thing that's happening to you. So you think it's strange. Let me give you the definition of strange. It's amazing here when we think about it. That we think about the word strange. And we see that. Of course, it said also very strange. But it's different. It's something that is unknown. Something that we can't relate to. It's something that we think that this is not. If you could get, and I was thinking when faced with this, if I can just get some clarity, just a little bit, Lord, I think that I would be okay with this trial. But that's me thinking that. Just a little bit of understanding. Because sometimes when you're going through a trial, you'll think, the trial, you begin to pray and you begin to get a peace of mind. And you think, it's okay. But not the fiery trial that Peter talked about. I mean, when we're talking about a fiery trial, this is intense heat. And we'll think about it as those three Hebrew boys were put in the fire furnace. First thing Nebuchadnezzar said is, I don't want just a little spark. Heat that furnace up hotter than it's ever been. I want them to know they're in my furnace. So he thought it was his furnace. It was God's. But anyway, so as time went on, the word fiery, it means, and strange, it means unfamiliar. This is not a familiar thing, trial. This is not a familiar thing. It means foreign. What kind of trial is this? This is foreign. This is not something that I can even think about. Alien. That's another word. This is alien. This is not something that I thought would come from you, God. Because number one, I'm trying to reason those seven nations, Jabin. I'm trying to reason this out, and I'm not getting anywhere because it's too strange. I still don't. And then it's abnormal. This trial, this test of my faith, it's peculiar. It's peculiar. Very peculiar. And when studying this, I was thinking about how, and we'll get to it, and I may just skip over. I thought about Martha. And we think about that with Lazarus. You know, Jesus said in the Word, he said, I love Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they knew that. They had a wonderful fellowship and relationship. He made his way to their house quite often. Spent the day, spent time with them, maybe night, I don't know. But when Lazarus got sick, and the Lord delayed his coming to heal him, the first thing that Martha thought, this is not necessary. This is strange. Why would you do this? This is love. That's what it appeared to her. Strange that you would, the family that you love, you would let this happen. And then you don't come to heal him, and you have all power in your hands. See, that's how we think. And I can understand that. Or it's like, why couldn't you just let him get sick? Why did you have to let him die? So she's in Jesus' face. You know how you get in somebody's face? You get right up to him. And she's saying this. And he's saying, oh, Martha. And I know his heart was hurting. I know this seems strange to you. This seems foreign, peculiar. Doesn't make sense for me to let Lazarus die. He said, but if you could just believe. Just believe, Martha. Almost begging her. You're going to see the glory of God. Did she see the glory? She saw more than the glory of God. She saw her brother raised. Saints, that's what he's saying today. Because I'm going to tell you something. These testing trials are going to get awful strange. You know why? Because he's getting us ready, saints. Amen. We're going home. Hallelujah. They're going to get strange, I'm telling you. But don't be shaken. It's okay if they get a little strange and you don't understand. He still has control of it. Because it's not going to make sense to you. But you can believe by faith. Faith takes over and say, And then the other thing I said to the Lord, how in the world are you going to get the glory out of this? He will get the glory. He will be manifested. He will be. There's no doubt. Again, we think about Nebuchadnezzar. First, the Hebrew boys. Then he didn't stop there. But he did. To some degree, I think he settled down a little bit till he heard that Daniel was praying three times. It's like, oh, no. Oh, no. I can't have that. This can't work. I just put those boys in a furnace. Now Daniel's praying, and he's not following the decree that I made that he's to fall down. Then when that happened, then he decided, he thinks on his own. Let me ask you something. In this fiery trial with Daniel, he's thinking he's got it under control. Who has it under control? God was in it all. Not only that, he actually brought this about. It wasn't just a coincidence, or it wasn't because. He wanted to show that he was a power. He had an image made, and he wanted to show, I'm the man here. But God, who is rich in mercy, and the mercy he showed Nebuchadnezzar, that's another sermon. Because the way he was carrying on, I think I'd have left him out there and just kind of said, check on him occasionally. But see, God's merciful. He's precious. He loves us. He's not going to leave us out there because he knows that he knew that Nebuchadnezzar's heart somehow wasn't as evil or just confused as he seemed to be, although it seemed to be. But again, it seems very strange. Sometimes we say this is for your glory. Oh, saints, it's so wonderful when the Holy Spirit directs us, our hearts, to the Word of God. You can hear him say, if you wonder how I'm going to get the glory, which I was, if you're thinking that I won't be magnified, let's call up some witnesses. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's go to some of these saints that's going to testify to you that I was glorified, I was magnified. Everything that trial came to work in your lives, the trial of your faith, it worked that and more. God just, he doesn't ever just do one thing. He does several things in the trial of our faith. It's like, I'm not just working to heal your toe. I might heal everything. Things you don't even know you need a healing. Because that's how I am. We're talking about God. So it's wonderful when you think of it. It's just precious. But here Peter tells us again. God's enabling power to consider what he was saying. He says to us, think upon these things. Meditate on them. Then with the Holy Spirit to search out the written word for our example. Then that brings us to be able to, peace begins to take over. Now, as Ty brought out in Sunday school, Peter was very impetuous. Impetuous means Peter would just do things without thinking. Anybody here like that? Just whatever. Just like, it's okay. And God said, it's okay, I know he loves me. But Peter, and then not only that, but he was also just kind of rash. You ever been around anybody just say, oh, Linda, I'll get do that for you. You're thinking, did I say do that? I don't think I told the person that. That's the example. And we're like, all of us can be that way. So that's what you're looking at there. With Peter. So as Ty brings up his wonderful Sunday school, that's what I hear, said. Faith walks us right into the victory of that scripture that Peter said, thinking that's strange. So what are we going to do tomorrow, saints? What are we going to do next week when this strange thing begins to happen? Unfamiliar, undocumented, family, neighbors, whoever, something that you just think, was this necessary, Lord? Yes. Amen. It was necessary because he knows exactly what it's going to take to get his precious wife, the Lamb's wife, ready. And those strange things are part of it. And we begin to say, Lord, the next time, only by God's grace, I say this humbly, this strange trial is, I believe, beginning to pass by God's grace. The next time, I hope that I don't say that. I pray I've grown in grace and knowledge through this, realizing that it might seem strange to you. What about a reoccurrence of the same trial? Have you ever said this? God, didn't I go through that back yonder? Didn't I go through that a year or two ago? And this thing is back again. Is God in control? You needed that. You need to be reminded. One of the sweetest things, and Pastor talks a lot about Esther, was when Mordecai said, you know, as the Jews were going to be annihilated, he told his niece, I think it was his niece, he said, you were brought here maybe for this very reason. It wasn't just he needed a wife, but you were born. In other words, you were brought here. God will bring something just for that very reason. Now, we know that she wasn't for that very reason. But he said, let me throw that in. Let me remind you why you are going to extend this scepter to him. This could have been the very reason that you were even brought here. Don't you just love that? Have you ever thought about yourself in a situation? Have you ever thought about maybe you're just the only reason that you live next door? Maybe it's not about the neighbors. And if you're like most of us, you think, I just wish they moved. But maybe it's about you. He's working in you when the dogs start barking. He's working in us. I don't think we're accidentally there if we sought the Lord and everything. But in your prayer, you might have prayed for the quietest neighborhood, most precious. And he'll do that. But what if he doesn't? What if something changes? What if you get new neighbors? Things begin to happen. And you think, what, Lord? Didn't I ask you? They've got four dogs over there. God says, I'm in control. I've got this. That's what everybody loves to say. I've got this. And I do too. He's got this, saints. He's got these strange things. He knows what it's going to take. He knows what we need. So I love Peter saying, think it not strange. Concern and think it not strange. I pray by the grace of God. I probably will. But I pray quick victory. When I get ready to say this is just, I hope I stop there with what he's showing us. This is not strange, but it seems very foreign to me, Lord. No matter what it is. Because, see, to us, everything that's not strange is something that's peaceful. Things are going right. Everything is good. Nothing's upsetting your heart. No one's whispering and talking about you. Nobody's pointing out your weaknesses. No one's doing anything that they shouldn't be. That's when we think everything. That is strange. Yes. But God may be allowing that very thing to bring you to the victory you need to be a full overcomer. Peter didn't say this out. He said it out of experience. He experienced some things. And so we know that. But we want to please our Lord and Savior, who we love, our soon coming bridegroom. And again, it may seem strange, but God is in control. In the book of Acts, we won't go there, I don't want to keep it too long. In the 27th chapter, what about that storm on the Isle of Melita. Oh, glory. Everything that seemed strange, God was glorified. Oh, the glory that came out of these strange things. And that's in our lives today. There's just glory. No matter how strange it appears, the growth in the grace and knowledge in the furnace of affliction is priceless. It's priceless. You can't, there's nothing you can compare with the glory that comes out of the furnace of affliction when we're tried. Nothing. We grow. And God will be glorified. He will be. And you just love these stands. I think again about the Hebrew boys and how they said this, and I love that. It's like, we know that we're not going to bow down. We're not going to do any of the things ungodly, strange gods and all that. But the thing that's sweet, they said, but we know, and see, we know, and we know, we know. We have a Bible full of we knows, and we do know. And we know that he's coming soon. And we know he's preparing his bride. And we know the love that he has is a love that only he could make us ready. Only he could be the example. You know, my God so loved the world. What an example that he could love the likes of you and me so much that he would go to that cross and shed his blood. But it's wonderful because Job testified, and he said that the things that he was tested with, the furnace of affliction, he said he came out as gold. We look for the gold. We don't think about the strength in these trials. Again, the Hebrew children, they said this. They made a stand. We believe he's going to deliver us. And the thing I love the most, but even if he doesn't, have we gotten there yet? Are we on our way there? Even if he doesn't, even if he does not, I know I want to believe him in this strange. I want to testify. I want to praise him. And I love that they could have said, God is so, oh, he's so wonderful. He's so faithful. They could have said, well, now, you know, if he doesn't, that's okay with us. They said, no, even if he doesn't. We're still not going to bow down to strength. We're not going to give in to this ungodliness, Nebuchadnezzar, that you want us. There's only how many gods? There's only one. And we're going to uphold him. We're going to look to him. We're not going to dance around your fire. We're not going to be in the way. And you think about the stand they made. And that's what you want to say, even if you don't deliver. Glory! Even if you don't deliver me immediately. I want to believe you in this furnace of affliction. I want to believe you. I want to know for myself. And that's what we learn, that this furnace of affliction is for your glory. It's for your glory. And you look, as we look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we'll go there. And look, the one thing they said, and we've read this so many times, saints, but every time we read it, we get a blessing out of it. But the many heroes of faith, 11:32, and what shall I say more of the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak? And of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Time would fail because there was so many trials and testings in their lives. There's no way you could bring them forth. There are things that David went through, and he went through enough to just, I can't wait to see the brother. Love him, because he is so wonderfully written to us in the Psalms, encouraging us, letting us know the faithfulness and the mercy and grace and love of God. But you think about the things that God couldn't say. Isn't that amazing? He said, here, you read this and you think, gee, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Daniel, which is quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, saint, aren't we being made strong? Yes, we are. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, even if he doesn't. The three Hebrews, I mean, just think, oh God, even if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him. So, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And this ought to make you just fall over, because we've heard this so many times, but it means more every time we hear it. God having provided some better thing for us. So are we gonna get upset next time and string better things for us? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A wedding to marry him, to rule and reign throughout eternity, a better thing. So the next time that strange trial comes, what are we gonna do, saints? What are we gonna do? We're learning. And I know Derek could stand up and testify. I love you, brother. Strange. And I even said, it's a little strange when you were going, hallelujah, when you were going through that. But I look at you now, and it's like all I see is the glory of God. The glory of God. Hallelujah. The glory of God. I see the power of God. I see the might. And that's in all of you, not just him. But what are we going to do next time the trial comes? That makes no sense up here. It's like, this is strange. This is weird. But I know that you are. Because the main thing you want, and this is what's so precious as we close, we love the Lord Jesus, I assume. We want him to be magnified. We want him to be glorified. So when you're saying this, you're saying in a sense, I don't want anything that's going to make you ashamed. Some of those trials almost seem like they're shameful in one sense. It's like, you're going to take this shame situation and get glory out of it? How are you going to do that? Amen. Don't worry about it. Amen. Just believe him. Amen. Just trust him. Amen. Just tell him that, praise you. I don't understand. But I know, and you know what, when you said that, I remember the day I said that, and by noon or later on that evening, I was by God's grace, I say this. I was walking around with a peace that only he could give. It's like, it doesn't matter how strange it gets. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that, which I have committed unto him against that day. Strange or not, you promised, you said, and all I want in the love, bridal love you've given me, I just want you to be glorified. I want you to be magnified. I want that more than anything that I could get out of it. And that's the peace that comes. That's all I want. I want my lover, my bridegroom, to get the glory. And when you fall in love like that, that's who, don't you want him to get the glory? That's what you want. Above all things. So we're going to close with Peter's thing. Let's look again. And it's just so much more, but it's so wonderful. When I read that, I thought, Lord, thank you. Beloved, 4, 12, 13. And then we're going to read 14 again. Thinking not strange. Don't even go there. By God's grace. But if you do, be quick to think otherwise. Thinking not strange, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as some strange thing had happened unto you. Again, it can be family. It can be friends. It can be neighbors. It can be work. Whatever that seems strange to you, don't go there. I said this. I know what I'm doing. I will be magnified through this. That's the growth he wants us to have. When Peter said that, it was comforting. The fiery trials. Lord, these trials are okay, but do they have to be this fiery? Yes, they have to be this fiery. Because, you know, we love the Lord by his grace and mercy, and he loves us so much, and we're growing in grace and knowledge. There is no doubt. But sometime when we're thinking of the things that we suffer in for his glory, we think about them in a sense that, am I in the will of God? Yes, you are. You are in the perfect will of God if this is something that he sent. And that's what you want. But, and this is it, and this is so sweet. Because the first thing, see, we go to a pity party sometimes. Oh, poor me. Oh, my goodness, this strange thing has happened to me. I don't know why it had to come up. And that's what I said. I said, why me? That is almost saying, in essence, couldn't you have chosen someone else? Sure, he could have. Do I want to win him? Do I want to be his? Yes. So why not me? And I believe by God's grace, it changed. Because he said we change as pastors from glory to glory. So I know it wasn't in vain. I know that. And I pray to be quick next time a strange trial to go and say, Lord, it's strange, but it's okay. Praise you. Praise you. If it gets stranger, praise you. If it gets stranger still, praise you. Because it can't get too strange that you can't be glory. It can't get too otherwise. It can't. It can't get to the point where you can't get the glory out of it. So praise the Lord. And you think, and I love this, Peter said, happen unto you. As if, oh, well, nobody else goes through this but me. That's the other thing. It's like, nobody else, I've not seen anybody else go through this. So you think you've been picked on. No. No. He's faithful. He knows exactly. And everyone that's running this race will go through these strange trials, especially as we come to an end and we see this race course and, Holly, we see the home stretch. It's going to get a little bit more strange. Praise God, because we're going home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Peter said this. But rejoice. I'm supposed to rejoice in this by his grace and mercy. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, and it's being revealed in you now, that you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, and I think in fact, I know in tonight Scott's study, it was so sweet because you think about the things, the reproaches and things, the name of Christ. We happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and God rested upon you. And on their part, his evil is spoken of. You know, people, there are people, and we won't worry as we close. There are people saying, oh, if she's so this and that, and she loved the Lord, why is that happening to her? They'll speak evil of us. Oh, she must be doing, and a pastor spoke, she must be doing something awful wrong, or he, for this thing to come up on them. They don't know this. They don't know. They don't know the glory. They don't know the calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They don't understand that. If you be reproached, they think, oh boy, quickly you're criticized. But again, it rests upon you, on your part, on their part, he is evil spoken of. That's what the scriptures say. But on your part, he is what?
Glorified.
What?
Glorified.
glorify, glory. And you can just walk away from someone and say, you know what? I know you don't understand, but God will get the glory. They won't be back in your face anymore. I can tell you that. And like the kids used to say, leave me alone. God will be glorified in this. He will be glorified. And then in 5:10, Peter says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he make that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion, and which is forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank it not strange. Thank it not strange. Thank it not strange. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can stand, I suppose, and be some music. Or, well, we'll ask Brother Dean, will you close?